Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy. In chapter 3 and verse 16, the Word of God says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." Doctrine is simply teaching in the Bible. "For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness which is in faith, that the man of God can be a woman of God also, may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work," for every godly work. What is Scripture? Scripture is the Bible. There's a lot of people out there who will call other things Scripture, but they're not. True Scripture is the Bible. Okay, so that leads us to the question of what is the Bible? The Bible is the Word of God. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that the Bible contains the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. There's some people out there who will say, "Well, the Bible contains the Word of God." That means that it's not all the Word of God. It's like saying, "Well, I have food in the bag, and the bag contains some food." You can eat what's inside the bag, therefore, but you can't eat the bag. And that's what they're saying when they say the Bible contains the Word of God. They're saying it's in there, but it's not all the Bible. It's not all the Word of God. It is all the Word of God. That's the point. It's like saying you have a bag and you can eat the bag along with the food that's inside. The Bible is the entire Word of God. There's not more of the Word of God than what is in the Bible, and there's not less of the Word of God than what is in the Bible. The whole thing is the Word of God. And it tells us in 2 Timothy that God spoke this Word. It's God breathed. That means He spoke the Word of God. Who did God speak this to? God spoke the Word of God to people. And the people He spoke it to wrote it down. Some people will say, "Well, no, the Bible is written by people, by men." It's not written by men. Yes, men were used to actually put pen to paper and write it down. But it's what God spoke to them. It's like a person has a secretary and they say to the secretary, "I want you to write the letter," and they tell the secretary what exactly is in the letter. And the secretary writes down what the person is telling the secretary to write down. The secretary is not making things up. If the secretary made things up, that person would be fired. If the secretary isn't making it up, that person is writing down exactly what's being told to them. And so the Word of God was written down exactly as the Holy Spirit gave it to the people who wrote it on paper. There's a certain organization to the Bible. And the reason for this organization is because the parts of the Bible are unique and important in their own respect, in their own way. Okay, do you guys know how many books are in the Bible? 66 books in the Bible. Very good. There's two divisions to the Bible. Do you know what they are? The New Testament and the Old Testament. Excellent. New Testament and Old Testament. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a tougher question. How many books in the Old Testament and how many in the New Testament? There's 39 books in the Old Testament. There's 27 in the New Testament. The Old Testament, of course, came before the New Testament. That's why it's the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament is just as much the Word of God as the New Testament. But the New Testament is really the Word of God as far as Christ goes and how He gave it. And the Old Testament was mostly written for the sake of Israel. So, the Old Testament is God's Word toward Israel, and the New Testament is God's Word from Jesus. Now, again, Jesus told people what to write by the Holy Spirit. How many people were used to write the Bible? In other words, how many people did God speak to and said, "Write this down"? There were 46 writers of the Bible. some of those books were written by more than one person. Books like Psalms, written by more than one person. Psalms in particular was written by more than one person. How long did the Bible take to write? From the very beginning to the very end. Do you know how long it took to write all that? It took 1,500 years to write the Bible. So 46 people over 1,500 years wrote 66 books. The first 17 books, from Genesis to Esther, those are history. And they are the history of everything that took place from the time of creation to the time that Israel returned from Babylon. Remember, God punished Israel at one point, and he sent them into Babylon. And when they returned, that's where the Old Testament ends, when they returned from Babylon. Those books, the first 17 books, are the history books. The next five books, the books from Job to Song of Solomon, and sometimes it's called the Song of Songs, those books are called the wisdom books or the poetry books. They are the wisdom of God. The greatest wisdom in the world is written in those five books. If you ever want to read wisdom, read those five books. Practical, everyday wisdom. It's found there. Now, two of those books in particular, Psalms and Song of Solomon, are poetry books. Song of Solomon is actually one long poem. And the Psalms are a collection of poems. But they are still the Word of God. Even though they're poems, they're still the Word of God. And then, the remaining books are the prophetic books. And the first five of them, from Isaiah to Daniel, those books are called the major prophets, and then the remaining ones, from after Daniel to Malachi, those are called the minor prophets. Now, the reason why they're major and minor prophets is not saying these are important and these are less important. That's not why. The major prophets gave prophecy in general. Like, not just to Israel, but they talked about things in general. They also talked about things towards the future. The minor prophets really spoke from God to Israel regarding Israel alone. Now, we can still use things from the minor prophets because the principles are correct. But the minor prophets were written specifically just to Israel for situations that Israel was dealing with. The major prophets were written as big prophecy books telling us what would happen, also in some cases dealing with the things that were going on with Israel, but more than that. Often you'll hear pastors talking about the major prophets. They'll ask you to turn to Jeremiah or Isaiah or something like that, but they won't really talk too much about Joel or Haggai or these other guys because their message was really for a specific time to a specific group of people. Now, it still pertains today because the principles are true, but the purpose of the message was a little bit different. Then you come into the New Testament. And that's divided in three sections also. Do you guys know what the first section is? What that's called? It's the first four books. Do you know what it's called? Those are called the Gospels. Now, the reason why they're called the Gospels, why they're special, is because they give the story of Jesus. So when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're reading eyewitness accounts about Jesus. Now, Matthew saw Jesus, he was one of his disciples, and John was one of his disciples. But Mark and Luke were not written by people who knew Jesus personally. They were written by people who were with the people who knew Jesus personally. Mark is really Peter's story. There was a man named John Mark, and he was a helper to Peter, and he wrote down Peter's experiences with Jesus. Luke is Paul's story, and Paul interviewed and talked to all of the other eyewitnesses, the other apostles that were there. Paul got together with them, and Luke wrote down those stories. Luke was a man who was a doctor, and he wrote two books of the Bible. He wrote the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles, and he was a helper to the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul was extremely important, and everybody recognized his importance because he was the one that was sent into everybody who was not Israel. So to all the other people in the world, Paul was the guy who was sent to them specifically to tell them about Christ. Now, I'm not saying that the other apostles never went other places, but their primary focus was in Israel, and Paul's primary focus was the rest of the world. Now, those are the Gospels that give the history of Jesus. Then you get the books that are the epistles. Epistle means letter. Those are the letters. And they were literally letters. Everything from Acts to Joel. Those are letters. So Paul wrote people letters, and Peter wrote people letters, and John wrote people letters, and these different ones wrote letters to people. And those letters are the essential teachings of Jesus as the Holy Spirit gave them, and also as they were given in the Gospels. So back then, because there wasn't a situation where you had big churches, and you didn't have a lot of pastors because Christianity was new. And so back then, people like Paul would write letters to different churches and teach those churches by means of letters. Those letters, the ones that everybody recognizes being the Word of God, became the epistles of the New Testament. And then the very last book is prophecy, the Revelation. And that prophecy hasn't happened yet. That's still stuff that's going to be happening. And we know, though, from all the rest of the things that the Bible tells us, that the things that are written in Revelation are happening in the near future. Do you guys know how the Bible became the Bible? Because it wasn't always the Bible. There was one book, and then you had time, and there was another book, and then you had time, and there was another book. And it wasn't always in one book that we called the Bible. The very first book written, do you guys know what that was? The first book that was written was Job. The reason why it's not first in the order of things is because Job is one of the wisdom books, and the people who organized the Bible thought it was more important to put the history books before they put the wisdom books. And so Job was the very first book written. That was written about 3,500 years ago. But it's still wisdom for today, which is remarkable. Job is the first one written. Now, Moses wrote the first five. And then a bunch of different people wrote the rest of them. I'm not going to get into who wrote what, because we'd be here for the next 2 hours. But Moses wrote the first five in the order of the Bible, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. Those were from Moses. The first Bible, right, the first people to recognize the Bible as what it was not a secret to people which books were the Word of God and which ones were not. Who wrote the Word of God and who did not? That was pretty much common knowledge. And so there were two what's called councils, which are like big meetings of the leaders of the churches at the time. One of them happened in 325, so it was a long time ago. The year was 325. And it's called the Council of Nicaea. And the other one happened in 381. So almost 60 years later, and that's called the Council of Constantinople. And they were the ones who officially recognized which books in the Bible belong in the Bible. Which of the things that were written, which letters and so on and so forth, belong in the Bible as God's Word. Now again, that wasn't any secret to people, but they kind of made it official. And then in the year 400, there was a guy who was the head of the Church of Rome named Jerome, and he's the one who actually published the first Bible. So when was it all put together as one book? It was in the year 400 with this guy Jerome. He's the one who ordered it. Now the folks that recognized which books are the Bible, there's a couple of things that they were looking for. For the Old Testament books, one of the big qualifications is that Jesus talked about all of the Old Testament books. So if it was a writing from a prophet, and Jesus talked about that prophet's writing, that told them that that book was indeed the Word of God. That was Scripture. That belonged in the Bible. Because Jesus was teaching from it. And if Jesus is teaching from it, you know it's the Word of God. Now, another thing that was very important, all of the books were written by one of two types of people in the New Testament. They were either written by people who knew Jesus personally, for example, John and Peter knew Jesus personally, or they were written by people who interviewed the folks who knew Jesus personally, people like Luke or people like John Mark. They interviewed the people who knew Jesus personally. Paul interviewed the people who knew Jesus personally. If you were not in one of those two categories, then what you wrote was not the Word of God. It might have been good teaching, but it was not the Word of God. Another characteristic is that it had to be written no later than the end of the first century. If it was written after the first century, everybody knew this was not the Word of God. And the last thing is it had to all be consistent. You couldn't have one book that contradicted all the other books and still call it the Word of God. They knew that if one of the things that somebody wrote contradicted what the other ones that everybody knew were the Word of God, if those two didn't agree, then the one that didn't agree was the one that was not the Word of God. So it had to agree in order to be considered the Word of God. There was a period of time of 400 years between when the Old Testament was completed and the New Testament started. And sometimes people call those the silent years. Now, I want you to understand something. You're probably going to eventually hear that term, the silent years. The silent years were not silent. They're called the silent years just because there was no Word of God written down. Nothing in the Bible was written in that 400-year period. It was written before and after, but not during that 400-year period. Do you guys know what was happening in that 400-year period? All right, think about this. At the end of that 400-year period, who came around? Well, Jesus came. At the end of that 400-year period, Jesus came. In other words, God came to earth at the end of that 400 years. That 400-year period was serious preparation for God coming to earth. That was actually historically one of the most active points of history during that 400 years where God was preparing all kinds of things, not just for Israel, but for the rest of the world, whereby he came to earth. Let me give you an example. If you're going to tell people all over the world about Jesus, what do you need to do? If I want to tell you about Jesus and you live in California, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to go to California. If I live in here and you live in California, I can't talk to you unless I go to California. Well, back then, they didn't have telephones and they didn't have airplanes and they didn't have cars. They got everywhere by horse or foot. So they were walking and they were riding horses. So they were building a very intricate system of roadways. That was part of the silent years, this development of a very complex, very thorough system of roadways. Because if you had to go, let's say, from Jerusalem to Rome, which is not a short trip, and you don't even have a road to travel on, that's going to be extremely difficult to do. But they built these roads. Another thing was they developed a government. There was one government all over the civilized world. Not all over the world, but all over the civilized world, what we call the civilized world. I'm not saying there weren't other cultures. There were. But what we often call the civilized world, which is basically from Spain past Israel. And that area of the world had one government ruling them. That made it very easy to go from one place to another so that people could hear the gospel, so that people could hear about Christ. All sorts of things were happening in the world at that time to prepare the way for Jesus coming to earth and then for people being able to tell other people what he told them, his message. So the silent years were not silent. The silent years were extremely active. But they're called silent because there were no books of the Bible written during that period of time. But they weren't silent. They were preparation years. And those were extremely important preparation years because without them, we wouldn't have the Bible. So they were crucial. This last point, and then we're going to be finished. The order of the Bible was not always what it was. The completed Bible was put together by Jerome. But the Bible before, the Old Testament books, they were already in a volume. So they weren't just a bunch of books floating around. No, they were there as a collection of books. Do you guys know what the first book of the Old Testament used to be? Well, what is it now? Genesis is what it is now. It used to be a different one. It used to be Jeremiah. And the reason is because after the return from Babylon, because Jeremiah warned Israel about the fact that they were going to go into Babylon if they didn't get right with God, after they returned, they thought, wow, Jeremiah gave us these warnings and he was absolutely right. And they considered him to be the most important of the prophets because he was the one who was warning them about Babylon. And so they put his book first. Well, there's a statement in the Bible in Matthew 27:9, where the Apostle Matthew, and he was an apostle, where he says something, and he says, Jeremiah said this. It says there, then were fulfilled the words spoken by Jeremiah the prophet when he said, and they took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel. That wasn't said by Jeremiah. That was actually said by Zechariah in chapter 11 and verses 12 and 13. And so some people will say, see, the Bible made a mistake because it says Jeremiah said it when in fact Zechariah said it. But that's not what it means. People would call the entire Bible by the name of the first book. So what he was simply saying is like we would say, well, the Bible says, that's equal to what he did there. Matthew said, well, Jeremiah says, it's like today saying, well, the Bible says, because people call the whole thing by the name of the first book. So the history of the Bible, some of that's kind of important to understand if you're going to understand what the Bible really is and if you're going to know how to approach it. So it's good to know the history because if you know the history, it helps us to really deal with the Word of God when we receive it and to understand certain things about it, like why was it written and so on. All right? You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.